May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming one. Amen. The text is the Gospel, Mark 13, for this, the second to the last Sunday in this church year. We think of the end times, the second coming of our Lord. Please pray with me. Lord, open our ears to gladly hear your word today. Open our hearts to receive and to believe your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you on the edge of your seat? I imagine you're a bit excited today about the sermon, although I know you're always excited, right, First Lutheran? You're eager to hear the Word of God. You're on the edge of your seat because the gospel today is about the end times, signs of the end, what's going to happen as we come to the end of the world. And it seems like Christians are always really, really excited about that. We're on the edge of our seat. What's going to happen? Who's the Antichrist? When's the Battle of Armageddon coming, or is it already going on? When is the end going to come? Will it come in 2012? Look out, 3 years. But I thought it was going to come in the year 2000, the new millennium. What are the signs? What's going to happen, Pastor? Well, Jesus in the gospel lesson is asked the question by some of his disciples, you know, what's going to happen? What are the signs? They want to know too. They're interested. They're on the edge of their seat. And Jesus teaches some basic, simple things that will happen as we come to the end. Let me summarize the words of Jesus with three signs today. There are three basic signs of the end. The first two, I'll go through kind of quickly. The final one, we'll spend some time on, because it is the ultimate sign, the sign of signs. I'll say that for the last. The first sign that we're coming to the end, the first sign would be this from the words of Christ. The first sign is constant conflict. What's going to happen as we come to the end? Constant conflict. That's one thing I learned from the words of Jesus. There's going to be conflict among the nations. Wars and rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom, constant fighting and war. We've had that 2,000 years and longer. We're going to have it until the very end. It's going to get even worse. Wars and rumors of wars, kingdoms fighting against kingdoms. There's going to be conflict in the very earth structure. Earthquakes, famines. The entire universe, physically speaking, is yearning towards the end with earthquakes and famines. There'll be chaos and conflict in the church. Going to be heresies. One of the first things Jesus mentions is that people will come in his name saying, I am he, don't stray. Going to be heresies, in other words, false doctrines. Going to rip up the church, divide the church. We see that in the church today, don't we? And the church shall be persecuted. Talk about conflict. Christians shall be persecuted. He mentions that very bluntly and straightforwardly. You're going to suffer. You'll be persecuted just like I am. You're going to be too. And the Lord says, all this, don't worry about it. Don't fret. Don't be alarmed. It's bound to happen. Don't think about it. Meditate on it. It's bound to happen. It's happening now. It will get even worse. These, as he says, are but the beginning of the birth pains. I really like that illustration of birth pains. Christ describes all this chaos and pain and suffering and conflict as birth pains. Now, I don't know a lot about birth pain. So ladies, bear with me. But I've been with my wife for 4 children being born, and she's a very tough, strong lady. And I can see in her face that it's painful. And I'm smart enough to know that the closer you get to childbirth, the pain increases, doesn't it, ladies? The contractions get longer and more severe, and there's not much time between them anymore. It's more and more pain as you get closer and closer to the child being born. And so a lesson here is as we get towards the end, when we are all born into heaven, it's going to get worse. More conflict, more war, more heresy, more division, more famines, more earthquakes. It's going to get worse. And yet, also with the pain of childbirth, there's joyful expectation, isn't there? The mother and the father realize that the pain is not meaningless. It's not just meaningless suffering. Why am I suffering? You know why you're suffering. You're giving birth to something wonderful. A baby's coming out. Something wonderful's coming. I'll bear it because something wonderful's coming. And so in the midst of all this conflict and chaos and pain, we have joyful expectation as Christians. We know something wonderful is coming. We're going to rise again. Our new birth into heaven will rise along with God in glory. That's coming, as Daniel says. Shine like the stars and the sun. That's coming. We can put up with any kind of pain because, oh, the joy that awaits us. Ann and I went to Lamaze. Do parents still go to Lamaze these days? It's been a number of years, 13 years since Abby. No more Lamaze. They don't have that in hospital. Pastor Roberts, not, you don't know what it is? Shows how old I am. Well, we had a Lamaze class where they wanted to teach the mother how to get through the pain of labor and the father to be her coach. You realize I'd be a real good coach, wouldn't I? And the whole key to the childbirth was to breathe. That's what I remember. You know, all you need is a woman to breathe to take the pain. And so I would be with Ann, holding her hand, breathe, 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 breathe. And she, just be quiet, you're not preaching. Well, as we go through the suffering and conflict and chaos of this life here, we don't merely breathe, but our coach, the Lord, would say, believe, believe, believe. Believe in the resurrection of the dead. Believe in the glory to come. Believe that I am with you. Believe that God's our refuge and strength. Believe in the forgiveness of all your sins. Believe in the cross. Believe in the resurrection. Believe that, oh, the glory awaits us. Believe, church, believe. Sign number two. In the midst of this constant conflict and chaos, there will ever be the confident confession of the church. There'll be the confident confession, the boldness of the church to preach the gospel. In the midst of all this chaos and conflict, pain, persecution, suffering, war, yet the church will be there with the gospel, confidently confessing Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God. And doesn't our Lord teach that? The great positive sign of all these negative signs of conflict and pain, he says, verse 10, and the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. There's the light in the darkness of this text, if you will. The gospel we proclaim. The gates of hell cannot stop the church. The devil can't stop the church. The gospel shall be proclaimed. So speak the gospel, church. Be confident. And he says elsewhere to the apostles there that they will drag you before councils and you'll be beaten in the synagogues. You'll stand before governors and kings to bear witness before them. What's the purpose? You might bear witness. You might speak the gospel to them. You have an opportunity. And he gives the great promise that when you are before the leaders, don't be anxious beforehand what you're going to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. What's the church do? We speak. We speak of Christ and Him crucified. When there's war, what does the church do? We confess Christ. That's what we do. When there's rumors of war, what does the church do? We confess Christ. That's what we do. When there's famines and earthquakes, what's the church do? We confess Christ. That's what we do. When there's persecution, what does the church do? We confess Christ. That's what we do. When brother betrays brother, family is breaking up, what does the church do? We confess Christ. That's what we do. And so what we're doing right here today in a baptism of Wesley and confessing Jesus, singing of Jesus, preaching of Jesus, hearing of Jesus, receiving Jesus' body and blood. All this is a sign of the end. All this is a sign of the end because the gospel is being proclaimed here. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He died, He rose for the forgiveness of sins. Right here is a sign of the end, dear friends. You know, I read in a recent Reader's Digest where 91% of people in the world, 91% of people in the world believe in heaven. It's across various countries. 9 out of 10 people, China, Africa, believe in a heaven, have the hope of heaven. What they think heaven is, we don't really know, but they have a belief in an afterlife, in heaven. So our work is over, right? The gospel's been preached. People believe in heaven. Not necessarily. For what is the way to heaven? God has placed in all people's hearts a yearning for Him. A yearning to live. That's just in our hearts. It's survival. We want to live. We have a hope of heaven and being with God. That's in the hearts of all people in a way. But what's the way to God? What's the way to heaven? And that's where the church comes and says, yes, you want to go to heaven? We all do. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. It's by His cross, His resurrection. Believe in Christ. Repent and believe. And 90% may believe in heaven, but I would say 20, 25% believe in Jesus. Lots of work to do. All right, those are the first two signs. They're very general. They've been happening the last 2,000 years. Well, Jesus' words are very general. All that He speaks about has really been happening in the last 2,000 years. But now, the third sign. This is the sign of signs, the ultimate sign that the end is near. You don't want to miss this one. You dare not miss this one. What is it? Are you ready for it? The third big sign. What is it, Pastor? Please. I'm anxious. I'm on the edge of my seat. What's the third big sign? The third sign, which is really the first sign, is right there. It's called the cross. The cross. We have them all over the place. The cross, you might be wearing one. The cross is the ultimate sign of the end times. The sign of the last day. It's the cross that Jesus died. Maybe you never thought of the cross that way. That's the biggest, most obvious sign that Jesus died on the cross. The end is coming soon. For the cross shows us how evil the world is. God tries everything in the Bible that we might believe in Him and know that He loves us. The Exodus, David, Goliath, He does everything for His people. He sends His Son, ultimately. He sends all the prophets. Then He sends His own Son to the earth to tell the world, hey, God loves you. God wants you back. And what does the world do with God's Son? We murder Him. Strap Him up on a cross and kill Him. God can't do any more, friends. He gave us all that He has, His own Son. So we killed the Son of God. I'm talking we, generally, the whole world. Judgment is to come soon. Judgment's to come soon. But the cross is not merely showing us how evil the world is. The cross more so shows us the love of God. God is so good. God is so gracious. God gives His Son, and through the murder of His Son, the sacrifice of His Son, there's forgiveness and salvation for the whole world. God can't do anything more for you. God's not going to do anything more for you. God's done it. He gave His Son. His Son died and rose. There's salvation for you and for everybody. There's forgiveness for you and for everybody. There's no plan B for God. Where, okay, the cross didn't work for everybody. I'll try something else to convince them. No, the cross is the plan from eternity. God did it. Jesus said when He died, it is finished. So God's done His work. Now the word's going out, the gospel going out. The end's going to come soon. Because Jesus died, it's finished. Salvation's accomplished. Believe it or don't, the end's coming. In the words of Jesus here, He is prophetic of His cross, I suggest. He speaks these words in Mark 13 on the Tuesday of Holy Week. He will die on Friday, you see. His cross is impending when He says these words there in Jerusalem. It's Tuesday of Holy Week. He's going to die on Friday. And in His words, He is speaking of the end times, but also of Himself and the cross. Let me give you a few examples. He speaks of the temple being destroyed. That's the first thing. This glorious temple you apostles see, it's going to be destroyed, not one stone left upon another. Why is the temple in Jerusalem destroyed? It was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. They came and wiped out Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. About 40 years after when Jesus is speaking here. Why is the temple destroyed? Why is that an important sign? Well, the temple is destroyed because the Jews generally rejected Jesus. Many believed, and we praise God for that. We hope more of them believe. But generally, Jerusalem rejected Jesus. And so God judges them. He punishes them. He takes away the temple and their whole city. But there's more than that. The temple in Jerusalem is destroyed because it's no longer needed. We don't need the altar of sacrifice in the temple because we have the altar of sacrifice called the cross. Hebrews reading is about that. We don't need a priesthood in the temple because Jesus is our priest. We don't need the Ark of the Covenant because Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant. God dwells in His flesh. Didn't Jesus on Good Friday begin to destroy the temple? He sure did. He ripped the curtain right in half, didn't he? This temple's going away because of the cross. Those words, the temple's going to be destroyed, they all force out of the cross. The cross is coming. You won't need this because you have me. There's more. He speaks of the apostles being handed over to kings and synagogues and to rulers. Well, didn't that happen to Jesus just 2 days later on Maundy Thursday? He leads the way. He was handed over to the Sanhedrin, to Pontius Pilate, and to Herod, and gave the good testimony that he was the Christ, didn't he, as empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks of brother betraying brother. Wasn't Jesus betrayed on Maundy Thursday by his brother Judas? He leads the way. And above all, he speaks of the cross when he speaks of the gospel. That the gospel shall be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. What is the gospel? The gospel is the cross. Right? There's the prophecy. I'm going to die. I'm going to save the world from hell and sin and death. The gospel is the cross of Jesus, that he died for our sins. And so right there, he's speaking all about his cross. The cross is the ultimate sign that the end is near. Illustration that might help. How do we know Thanksgiving is near? What are the signs that Thanksgiving is near? Well, it's fall. We know Thanksgiving is in the fall. The leaves are falling and turning and falling. That points to Thanksgiving coming. A football, that points to Thanksgiving. It occurs during football season. All these are signs of Thanksgiving. What else? November. We're in the month of November. We know Thanksgiving is in the month of November. But when, above all, do you know Thanksgiving's right around the corner? When you go to the grocery store and there's all the butchered turkeys. Come get your... The turkeys have been butchered. The turkeys have been butchered. The food is available. Come get your turkey. Half off on the turkey. We know that Thanksgiving's right around the corner because the turkey's been butchered. The meal is getting ready. Ah, it's coming. The reunion, the feast, it's coming. The turkeys have been butchered. And so how do we know the end is near? That we're going to be at the great reunion in heaven and feast with God because the lamb has been slain. The fattened calf has been butchered for our celebration. Salvation's been prepared for all people. Forgiveness for all. We just give out the invitations now. Come, come and receive. And we even get a foretaste of all this as we eat of the Lamb's body and blood today. The end is near. Constant conflict. Confident confession of the church. But above all, the main sign is the cross. It's finished. Salvation is being prepared for all people. The feast is ready. The end is near. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us continue with our prayers.